It was at the first church we served that I was offering chapel time to the preschool crowd, and it was about this time of year we were talking about baptism. We read the story of Jesus's baptism and began to talk about our own baptisms. So as I did so with my preschool friends gathered round, I had the baptismal bowl in my hand and began to flick water so that all of my friends would get a bit of the experience of the water. Most of them were delighted, giggled and laughed, and a few kind of whispered that an adult was flicking water at them. This was fun. But one little child was very upset and said, "I knew you were talking about water, but I didn't expect it would be wet." I wonder how often we find ourselves like my young friend. "I know you're talking about water, but I don't expect it's going to be wet." I like baptism for the belovedness of God, but I don't think I'll be called to do anything out of it. I know God loves me, but that's enough, right? In the spirit of the new year, I promised we'd have three resolutions as a congregation. Last week, I challenged you to read your Bible, and many of you have responded and shared with me. You have the blue paper, you're checking off and reading along. Those who haven't had a chance to start yet, we're not so far into January. Feel free to pick one up in the lobby and read right along. There are some days of rest and reflection. You'll catch up pretty quickly. But today, I want to offer you the second resolution. Commit to one act of loving your neighbor. Sounds pretty easy, right? Commit to one act of loving your neighbor. I love the passage that Karen read for us today from the prophet Micah. Whenever I hear the call to return to our biblical roots, I think of this passage. How can I stand before God and show proper respect to the Most High God? Should I bring armfuls of offerings? Would God be impressed with thousands of rams, buckets and barrels of olive oil? Would God be moved if I sacrificed my first child, don't tell her, my precious baby, to cancel my sin? Should I show up with the cleanest house? That'd be hard. The strongest stock portfolio? Does God want me to have the fastest car, the latest technology? Should I go into great debt to have a grand house that I'd be proud to show off? What does God want me to do? How can I come before the God of the universe, creator of us all, redeemer of humanity, sustainer of my soul? Hear the words of the prophet Micah echoed again and again in the scriptures. Listen carefully, men and women of God. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. The prophet Micah raises his voice and risked his life against the powers that be. He spoke to the city elites from a rural perspective, telling them they'd forgotten how to live as God's people. They'd gone astray, forgotten their job, their role as God's people. In the midst, hear this, of government corruption and concerns about self-focus, Micah, the prophet, calls people not to that work, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. I think when we hear justice, we've thought about it as ultimate justice, the kind that comes when one day God sets the world straight in one foul swoop. If this is our only image of justice, I think we've denied ourselves the fullness of who God calls us to be and what God offers to each of us. In this season, I've been reading a bit of Martin Luther King Jr., no surprise there, and he preached this phrase, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice." God calls each and every one of us to seek that justice in an unjust world. In a world in which some children have more food choices than they know what to do with, and others go hungry. A world in which some of us have more house than we could fill, and others are still searching for a place to call home. A world in which some of us have ample education to live out our gifts and be fully who God has called us to be, and others scrape by without enough resources or a chance to be who God has made them to be. What does that mean for us as we seek justice? I find myself thinking we must not be content with our own accomplishments, but remember our baptism has called us, urged us onto action. It was September 15th, 1963. You might remember when the 16th Street Baptist Church was bombed and four young African-American girls were going to Sunday school and were killed in that place. A tragedy on par with, in our own day, the Emmanuel AME church shooting of not so very long ago. Did you know it was Dr. King who offered the eulogy that day for these young girls? He said something that stings me a little bit. Let me share it with you. "These girls have something to say to every minister of the gospel who has remained silent behind the safe security of stained glass windows. Something to say to every politician who has fed their constituents on the stale bread of hatred and the spoiled meat of racism. They have something to say to each of us. We must substitute courage for caution. We must substitute courage for caution. Every time I think I've assuaged myself with having chose a life of justice, doing the justice God has called me to do, I hear those words in my ear. I wonder if you're like me a little bit here. Our caution has sometimes looked like choosing what we believe to be walking with God over doing justice. We've tried to separate out as if it's multiple choice. Either do justice, love kindness, or walk humbly with God. And suggested they're separate, but equal. Our mistake, friends. There's an and in that sentence. To do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God. Following God is an opt-in exercise, not a multiple choice test to choose from. The other words that stung me a little bit this week were from John the Baptist. Did you catch them? John the Baptist calls the good church folks, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who know the rules and follow them pretty well, those who've always been in the church and can spot a mile away someone who hasn't always been in the church and begin judging real quickly in their mind. To us, John calls out, "Brood of vipers." Ouch! That hurts. But John the Baptist, like Micah before him, is not seeking to get caught up in a name-calling kind of battle. Rather, the prophet calls us to follow God, to live out God's ways, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God, to live out our baptism, not just receive affection, but move towards action. Now I get it. For you, for me, it's hard, and the systems are established. It feels like they're not on our side, as we imagine they have been in the past. The prophets who have come before us called us to these actions, regardless of the systems that were in place. The prophet Micah had the oppression of the Babylonians and the Assyrians, who ransacked Jerusalem, and the elites of the city nodded along and thought it was just okay. John the Baptist had the oppression of the Roman Empire through Herod, and ultimately his life was handed to them, literally on a silver platter. Dr. King had the oppression of segregation and systematic racism, and his life was given in the pursuit of justice. Today, we need to hear again that our baptisms are a call to action. Barbara Brown Taylor says it this way: all of us in baptism are ordained to ministry, which is what most Protestant churches say all are ministers of Jesus Christ. They agree to let people look at them as they struggle with those baptismal vows, to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to resist evil, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to seek and serve Christ in all people, and to strive for peace and justice among all people. So I wonder, where are you striving for peace and justice among all people? Where are you resisting evil, proclaiming the good news? Or as Micah said it so memorably, doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with your God. Let me be clear. No one is asking you or me to save the world. Jesus has already done so. However, what I challenge you and myself as well is to commit to one act of loving your neighbor. So for you, perhaps the question is, how will you love your young adult neighbor, the one who's addicted to opioids? How will you love your young child neighbor, who's often sent to school without gloves when it's cold outside? How will you love your elderly neighbor whose social security is not enough to make it to the end of the month without choosing between feeding herself or the cat she loves dearly? How will you love your neighbor who is caring day in and day out for aging parents or a declining spouse, for growing children who are more than a handful? How will you love your neighbor who is waiting for their loved one to return from prison and has deep fears about what it looks like when they enter safely and sustainably into society? Our baptisms call us to action. There is justice that can be found here and now that doesn't need to wait until ultimate justice. In fact, Jesus calls us to help usher in the ultimate justice with our actions now. Every time we choose justice over ease, kindness over disengagement, walking with God over trying to solve the world's problems by ourselves, we help usher in the kingdom of God. As my young friend told me, indeed, water is wet. Baptism is indeed a call to action. Let us, as disciples of Christ, lead lives that do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.